Okay, last week we talked about the principle of measurement. And we looked at a lot of verses, of course, but two in particular that I think will set the tone for this week, because this week I want to do part two of the principle of measurement. So let's go to Luke 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you in return. That's the principle of measurement. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Then in Mark 4, verse 24 and 25, and he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. So by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. This principle, repeated by Jesus in various different settings, can be applied to many areas of our life. It applies to how we treat others, to how we think of others, how we judge others, how we pass opinions of others on to others. It applies to giving, many areas of our life. But there's another part of this principle that we didn't really talk about last week. Not only will our standard of measure determine how it'll be measured to you, but also whoever has, more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Going back there to Mark 4, especially that second verse, it says, for whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. We see this in a lot of places. And again, in different settings. In Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is talking about the mysteries of the kingdom and why he speaks in parables. And he says in verse 12, he says, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. That's actually added this in this case. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. If we go to Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about the parable of the talents here. And his conclusion to the whole parable is verse 29, for to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. You know, we can go to Luke 8, verse 18. It says, so take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. Again, the words changing a little bit in each of these, but it's pretty much the same. And then in Luke 19, we see it again. Verse 26. Luke 19, verse 26. And this is at the end of the parable of the minas. I tell you, that everyone who has, more shall be given. And from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. So what is God saying in all this? First, all of us have been given things by God, right? For Christians, it's our life in Christ. He's given us talents and minas, he's given us various gifts. He's given us spiritual truth. He's given us the power of the gospel. He's given us understanding of spiritual things. He's given us an ability to be able to discern and to be able to analyze and pull out insights from God's word. A lot of things. By our standard of measure, in other words, we receive more as we use it, these things, or as we're faithful with these things. Now, You might say, oh, yeah, kind of like money and possession. Yes, money and possessions, you know, the more we're faithful, the more we use them, it comes back. But more so with spiritual truth, spiritual understanding, wisdom, perception of God's word, his grace and mercy and forgiveness, it comes back to us as we give it out and we receive even more. That's a principle in God's word. But what happens when we don't measure out forgiveness and money and spiritual understanding? You know, we just kind of keep it to ourselves. Well, what does the parable of the talents and the parable of the minas say? What? It's taken away from us. And even what we do have is taken away, right? And this principle explains why some people seem to be growing in the Lord. They're learning. They're being used. They're giving to others. And then at some point, it seems like they become stagnant or they plateau out. And then if you fast forward a little bit more, it seems like they're going backwards. And even what they did have was taken away from them. And probably if you've been around in the kingdom of God long enough, you've seen this happen, sadly, to too many people. So practically, what can turn us around to start going backwards? Well, I think there's a lot of things, according to this principle. First of all, there's unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness. When we're not measuring out mercy, when we're not giving out mercy to others, when we're not extending forgiveness to others, it starts to roll back. We start that a backward roll. In fact, I'm going to give an illustration, and every illustration has limitations, I know. But let's say the Christian life is rolling a big, heavy ball up a hill. Now, if we're doing it with Christ, and if we're living according to the principles of the kingdom of God, you know what? He's actually the one that's kind of pushing it. You know, we might have our hand on it. It's kind of like, you know, when you have a small child and they want to help and you're kind of doing all the work, but they feel like they're kind of doing it. Well, that's kind of the way it is with us, kind of rolling that ball up the hill. And as long as we're applying the principle of measuring out, giving out what we have, you know what? He keeps pushing it. But if all of a sudden we start getting kind of stingy with what we have, then you know what happens? Jesus starts kind of lifting up his hand on that ball. And we, oh, this is kind of hard. And then what happens? All of a sudden we find ourselves kind of slipping back, right? Because that big weight, that big rock or whatever we're pushing is actually pushing us back. And I think that's one way we could kind of look at this. But there's other things that could start that ball or that big ball or rock starting to kind of roll back on us. When we start judging others, remember we looked at this last week in Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, Jesus says, for in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you. You know, in other words, if we're kind of judging other people harshly, if we are condescending, if we are, if we're just judging other people, you know what? It's going to start coming back on us. And that ball is going to start rolling backwards on us. Another thing could be unkindness or a hardness of heart. You know, it could be a condescending attitude, pride and arrogance directed toward others, not caring about others, a lot of things. Because, again, in the Sermon on the Mount, we know it as the golden rule. What did Jesus say? In everything, therefore. It's kind of interesting. He says, in everything. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. In other words, he's saying, that's what all the scriptures really kind of teach us. We're to love one another. We're to treat other people as we would like to be treated back. And that sounds so simple, but in most of our lives, we're not measuring out in the way that we would like to see it measured back to us. But the principle of measurement is clear. It's going to come back to us as we give out, except it's amplified. If we're measuring out a lot, we're going to get much more. Spiritual understanding or whatever it happens to be, mercy, forgiveness. And if we're stingy with it and we're not doing it, then we begin to slip back, and even what we have is taken away from us. Scoffing at spiritual things. You know, instead of measuring out thankfulness, gratitude, trust, we measure out sarcasm and cynicism. And actually, this is something I've been thinking about a lot over the last few months. And I actually want to have a message sometime soon on the scoffer. But the scoffer, God doesn't treat scoffers very kindly. You know, it comes back on us. And let's put it this way. You know, an example of scoffing might be, yeah, sure, Lord, you could take care of me this time. You have it before. How does that come back? Well, maybe it's the Lord saying, okay, well, yeah, sure, I'll take care of you. But in a sarcastic way, we wouldn't want God to look at us that way, would he? Would we? But so scoffing at spiritual things has a way of coming back to us as well. Stinginess with our money and possessions. You know, we already read in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given back to you. It's really pretty simple. And if we're stingy, it's not going to come back to us. And even what we have will slowly begin to be taken away from us. So you might ask, why does God do that? Because he is entrusting to us very valuable things. His gifts, his blessing, spiritual insights to those who are faithful. And he's giving those out to those who are measuring it out to others. If not, he removes these things, probably gradually, but he does remove them because having spiritual things in the hands of selfish people can be dangerous. I've seen these things many times, so many times, when God begins to remove what people once had, their spiritual lives start to go backwards. I've even had people say to me, I used to believe in that. That used to be so clear to me. Not now. What was happening? At some place, they were not being faithful in what God had given them. And that should be something very sobering to all of us. Actually, we see the same principle in so much of the scripture. Like one thing that a lot of us don't understand is when sometimes God talks about hardening the hearts, like hardening the heart of Pharaoh. What's happening there? You know, it didn't start that way that God just hardened his heart. But as Pharaoh did not respond to the Lord, the grace for him to respond back was getting less and less. And so his heart got hardened more and more. Or when the scriptures talk about a conscience, you know, our conscience is something is when we do something or say something or have a bad attitude about something, our conscience through the Holy Spirit tells us that's wrong. We need to repent of that. But what happens if we just ignore that conscience over and over and over? The scriptures say that our conscience gets defiled or it gets seared to all of a sudden, it doesn't really bother us anymore. Oh yeah, well, that's just the way I am. And all of a sudden, we don't feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's an example of what we had, like a sensitive conscience, is being taken away from us. Romans 1, it talks about as people get into sin, and as they dive into sin more and more, it says that God actually what? I think three times it says God gives them over to that sin. He lets us fall. You know, if we insist on doing things our own way and rejecting what God has. So this is a principle that we see in a lot of different situations in the scriptures, you know. When we hold on to something, rather than measuring it out, That could be money. It could be possessions. It could be grudges. We're holding on to grudges. It could be, it applies to extending mercy. It applies, or withholding mercy, we might say. My way of doing things, I'm clinging to that. My rights, God begins to take away. Two reasons I can think of why he probably does that. One, he wants people to whom he's entrusted valuable things to be taking it seriously. And if we're not, he's going to take away. I think the other thing is that I think sometimes he allows that to get our attention, to wake us up. Lord, what's happening? It seems like the things I was excited about before and the things that I saw so clearly, I'm not anymore. Lord, I need your help. And by the way, that's a prayer that God always answers when we cry out to him. So I think sometimes he does that to get our attention. Now, the opposite is also true. If we are faithful in measuring out what God has entrusted to us, then he will entrust to us even more. Just like in the parable of the talents, the person who was faithful with what, five talents, what happened? God gave him five more. You know, same thing with the parable of the minas, you know. In fact, brothers and sisters, this is how we grow in the Christian life. We measure out, or we give out, what God has given to us. And again, I'm not talking about money or possessions, although it certainly applies to that. I'm talking about spiritual truth, spiritual understanding, wisdom. He wants us to use that. He wants us to step out. He wants us to bear fruit. And when we do, we continue to grow. And if we don't, and we hold on to things, that's when our growth stops. Or sadly, in some situations, we actually start to go backwards. May we be disciples of Jesus who are giving out extravagantly, and therefore we're constantly growing in his ways. We're growing in faithfulness, becoming more and more enriched in his truth and in his grace, because that's what happens as we give out. 2 Corinthians, we looked at this briefly last week, but let's look at it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And the context is about giving. It's talking about giving materially, but I think there's indication that it's much more than just giving financially or giving of our possessions, although certainly that's a primary part of it. But in verse 8, God says, in response to our giving out, measuring out what we've gotten, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance for every good deed. That's the principle of measurement. As we've been given and we give out, then it comes back in the form of grace and all sufficiency in everything, that we have abundance for every good deed. It includes spiritual things. Verse 10 and 11, he continues. He says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. So what is he saying here? As we dedicate our life to a life of giving, everything that we have, it comes back, and he also multiplies the seed for sowing, increases the harvest of righteousness, of our righteousness. In other words, it increases fruitfulness, and we'll be enriched in everything. And then the verse 14, a couple more verses, it says, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. I like that. In fact, my understanding in Greek is the surpassing grace is an overflowing grace. That's what we get when we embrace this principle of measurement. that we are free with everything we have. We may not feel like we always have enough, or we would like more. But you know what? Our life is dedicated to just give everything we have, everything He entrusts us with. And that's the person to where God's word says that person will have an abundance of grace, of everything. It'll be measured back to us even more than what we measured out. So in conclusion, we've been talking about the principle of measurement. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you in return. And whoever measures out abundantly from what they've been given, this person will receive more grace, more mercy. It also includes finances and possessions. Spiritual truth includes, as we are faithful in these truths, just like 2 Corinthians 9 says. On the other hand, whoever hides what God's given him or is not faithful with what God has given him, even what he has will be taken away from him. And that should be a warning to all of us. So on one hand, this principle of measurement should encourage us and inspire us to give, but it should also be a warning too that we don't want to just kind of withdraw and hide ourselves. So we're talking about a principle of the kingdom. And by the way, there's other principles of God's kingdom like this one. But I think it's important for us to study them, for us to meditate on these principles, and especially to put them into practice. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Lord, how it teaches us, inspires us. Lord, it teaches us how to live in an abundant life, spiritually that is, full of your grace, full of truth. It teaches us how to live that. And Lord, this principle of measurement is one of those principles. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes. Let us see this. And Lord, give us the grace and the courage to put into practice these things. Lord, give us the faith. Because yes, this principle of measurement, it doesn't make sense to the natural mind, to human reasoning. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, that our commitment is not to live according to what naturally seems right, but our commitment is to live according to the principles of your word, to live according to your word. And so, Lord, we make that commitment once again to live according to your word, and especially with this principle of measurement. Thank you, Lord. Amen.